Welcome to Fast Cars, Fast Girls with Abby and Molly.
It is the race report, Long Beach, from the Airbnb style.
It is.
It is. That's exciting. Oh my goodness. This was a very dominant weekend for one Alexander Rossi.
It was.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler alert. It was quite the weekend for Rossi.
I'm excited.
I know you are. It's been a baller weekend for you.
It's been a good weekend. It's been a good weekend for a girl. Okay. I never know how to start these things because, my goodness, so much happens during race weekend. So, we can. Do you want to just go through the field, I guess?
Sure.
All right, let me pull up the results. Nope, not Delta check-in. Mm-hmm. The people don't need that. I guess we'll go bottom top. Oh, God. Poor Colton.
Broke our heart. First out, we both lost out on that point.
100% lost out on that point.
Colton Herta.
So we were at the race, and then we just finished watching the TV, kind of the NBC shit. He's very mature for his age.
He is.
He was like, look, I don't want to give a report right now. I'm going to need a beat.
Yep. I need a minute.
I need a minute. And then he came back and he was very well put together and well thought out. And I appreciate that because sometimes you're like, nope.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk right now.
Better to take a beat than to say something you're going to regret.
Exactly. So,
I respect that.
Got two back-to-back races for them. But, you know, they got a few weeks to kind of work everything out.
They do. And I mean, it's just unfortunate that, you know, they had it happen last weekend and then this weekend. So, I mean, it's just, you know, and especially to be, you know, coming off of winning at COTA, it's kind of an extra hard pill to swallow, but, you know, shake it off, get it all out before May, and then come into May strong.
I want to add that to our tally.
Yeah, add that right in.
Up next, Jack.
Jack Harvey.
I...
So funny story. Earlier this weekend, as we are standing over by the fountain taking photos during practice, I said, I wonder if anybody has ever gone into the fountain. And Molly's like, I don't think anybody's ever gone into the fountain.
Because they had tire barriers.
There's tire barriers. That
at
you really,
part of it.
You really can't see, but they're kind of, they're tucked in behind the ferns. And it's done very well with the landscaping. But yeah, they do put some tires in there. And then today we had two cars damn near go in the fountain.
Yeah, so. I mean, one was up in the foliage.
Oh yeah. No, Jack was in the foliage.
Yeah. Like lap one, there was a contact between he and Marcus Ericsson. They're like, we've got a contact. And we're like, who made contact? There he is. His car is halfway up the damn fountain.
Oh my gosh.
It was a little funny.
It was very funny.
I mean, the position of the car was hilarious. Like, nobody was hurt, nothing else, but the position of the car, funny as shit.
Hilarious, yeah.
So, he finished 22nd.
He did, and he went back out there.
Yeah.
He continued running. He was a couple laps down, but continued running until the race was over.
Yeah, the only car that did not finish the race was, unfortunately, Colton Herta.
Yeah.
His car, sorry.
Yeah.
Felt like I should put a little... and then it was Santino Ferrucci. He had a bit of a moment in a runoff and stalled it and sat there for a good lap or so before they could get it restarted to go.
Yeah.
So that kind of, I mean, again, he still finished the race where he was still running at the end of the race, but that did kind of set him back.
Yeah, it definitely did.
Yeah.
It definitely did. And then Marcus Ericsson.
Yeah. Also part of that kerfluffle lap one.
Yep.
Served a drive through, so that's going to knock you off your feet.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of pit issues this race.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, because Colton,
everybody better be in the pit stop challenge on carb day because y'all need some fucking practice.
Yeah. But before he got out, Colton had a pretty bad pit stop. They were getting everything changed. It looked like the front tire gave them a moment of issue, and then they didn't throw the air gun across. And so Colton was like, whoa, I can't go over my shit because that's a penalty, and the car stalled.
Yeah.
And Doug was not happy.
No, Doug was not happy.
We could tell through his...
He was displeased, I'll tell you that.
Through his helmet.
Yeah, I could read that body language.
Exactly.
I don't want to be on the receiving end of that.
Nope. That's a grade A crank pants.
Yeah. And then finishing 19th, Tony Kanaan, who, by the way, was bitching about the race before it even started. He was just over the radio, just complaining about things and about what they needed to do. And I was like, it hasn't even started. And you know, you qualified in at 21st, so.
He had a shit qualifying.
Maybe let's not start complaining about other people while we're still on parade laps.
I mean, we say that. We say that with a full knowledge that our asses would have competed. Like, if I was stuck behind somebody, we'd be like, and I'm stuck behind this asshole.
I mean, fair.
I mean, I wouldn't if I qualified nearly dead last because
He was stuck behind Matheus Leis, so.
He could not have said that about his.
No. No, he could have said it about Ericsson, though.
No, but he smacked. I mean, he ended up with a pretty severe. Not a pretty severe, but he actually kind of hurt himself in quals. So that was unfortunate.
It was. He like really his, did. His knee. Yeah, and he hurt his knee.
It's very. Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't a fun race.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a fun race. I mean, but he did finish better than he qualified, so that's good.
Well, yeah, I suppose you are technically correct.
Yep. Better than nothing, right?
That's true. And then Spencer.
Oh, Spencer Pigot, who qualified like shit. Started 23rd. Moved up 5 spots to be 18th.
Also got caught in that first lap issue.
Collected, I think, is the word you're looking for
there. I believe that there was like 2 different first lap issues.
There were.
There was the Ericsson Harvey, and then there was Spencer and one of the 2 Foyt cars, because now I cannot tell a Foyt car or a Arrowsmith Peterson car apart.
Yeah, that's really
That's just
not
mean
helpful.
To people like me.
It's very hard.
So that was part of it. That's what kind of stopped Pigot, I believe, part of it. And then poor Zach.
Oh, Zach Veach.
This was not a good race weekend for Zachary.
Nor was last weekend.
No, I don't know what's going on with that car.
I don't know what's going on with him.
I think it's
the hate is back.
That's it.
I mean, even on the radio, he just sounded panicked all day today. It was like, whoa, brother, chill out.
3 to 4 F-bombs, and for Zach Veach to drop F-bombs.
Yeah, that was some serious shit.
Yeah, but at one point, let's see.
Oh, yeah, so lap 29. Yeah, that was when Ferrucci stuffed it. Veach was pretty close to him, and he asked the team something. He was like, or he said, you know, said something like that, you know, something about that incident. Mm-hmm. And then he just said, that was fucking close.
And, like, shit was still having problems, and he was just dropping bombs. At one point, his strategist was like, okay, if we do this, this, and this, like, da-da-da. And Zach was like, I'm gonna need luck. And I was like, oh, Zach. So, I don't know. They're gonna have to take a serious look at the setup of that car. Granted, Andretti Autosport typically rolls out fairly well for the latter half of May, but
yeah, I don't know.
I just hope his car doesn't catch on fire again.
I mean, he just, like, it's his sophomore year. He needs to do something.
Yeah. He's only got a year left at the contract after this.
Mm-hmm.
And I like him. I mean, I enjoy him.
I like him too, but he's definitely not driving as well as we've come to expect him to do.
That's true. It's just something's happened.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Yeah, I don't know either. Ed Jones came in 16th after qualifying 17th.
Have we decided if it is Ed Carpenter who's on the radio for Ed Jones? I know that he's in his stand. I don't know if he's on the radio or not.
I like to think that it's him, but you always tell me that it's not.
No, I tell you it's not for Spencer Pigot.
Oh, that's right.
It's not for Pigot because Ed's on the 20 stand.
Yeah.
Because it's,
I feel like he's got to be
right before the race. Whoever is on Jones's stand came over and said, let's go pass some cars. And I was like, oh, that's nice. So in my mind, it's Ed Carpenter to Ed Jones being nice for like the one moment of the race. Probably somebody else came on. Ed Carpenter fully said, let's go pass some cars. Pause. But remember, May is coming up. don't mess up my ride.
Right? Like, don't do it.
There was a little butt, buddy. Then it was Mateus Lace, who just had that opening lap kind of incident with Spencer Pigot. But after that...
And he moved up 5 spots.
Yeah, he had a race. He brought the car home. He didn't really get into any other trouble. And for a Foyt car,
that's a success.
That's a win. Yep. That's a win.
I mean, he slowly but surely won back a couple spots.
Yeah. Hey, that's not bad. That's what you kind of want.
Max Chilton finished 14th after starting 16th.
There was a good battle at the mid mid pack between Max Chilton, Marco Andretti, and then kind of Zach Veach were all in that area kind of battling each other towards the end, how some stuff happened. But like at one point, Chilton's crew were like, hey, we've got the better tires, we've got the better fuel, let's get them. Like, we've got them, meaning like Veach and Andretti.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not pass Andretti, but he did pass Zach Veach.
Yep, sure did. And then 13th, Marco Andretti. Started 11th. He lost 2 spots.
And he did have a good showing during practices.
He did. He had a fast car.
But I think the setup, they must have tweaked something.
Yeah.
I know that the Andretti Autosport cars, a couple of times when we were in pits, they were really working on the shocks and everything else. So maybe they did something there that just didn't, I don't know, just kind of made it funky for that race.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it was.
Mm. Okay. Then it was Pato Award. Thought I would have something better from him this race.
I know. I wanted him to do better this race as well.
I mean, they had that really great battle between he and Herta within the first 4 laps, and they were almost 2 abreast. Yeah, it was about after the first incident in the Fountain Turn complex. And then that's when Herta and Award were going about 2 abreast.
Yes.
And it was really great.
And Rosenquist was right behind Award.
Yeah.
It was like rookie on rookie on rookie violence.
And it was fantastic racing. They got through it cleanly. Herta pulled away. And then Rosenquist got around Award then too.
Award backed off twice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he backed down twice, which I was surprised at.
He kind of goes out there and is a hard charger. I'm a little shocked. Shocked about that.
Yeah.
So I don't know how that happened. Okay. After Award, it's Sebastian Bourdais, who kind of one of those quieter races for him.
It was. Although it was a busy weekend for the man.
Oh, my God.
So finished 11th after starting 14th. But he got to pull double duty and raced IMSA this weekend as well.
Because Joey Hand was sick, so they needed somebody to fill in. And so that's why Seabass jumped on in.
Yeah. So we literally watched him after quals.
Oh my God.
Yesterday.
Go away on his little, rascal.
He hopped out of his car, went, changed clothes, and then we see him coming back on a scooter in his different colored fire suit that matches the car that he, the GTD for the IMSA race.
Yeah, for the 100-minute IMSA race. Oh my God.
And then he ran a race yesterday.
Mm-mm.
And then he ran an IndyCar race today.
Nope.
This morning, we were Bourdais looks tired.
He looked tired. Oh, this is when his... So this is the quote where his crew was talking about, who was it? I think it was Herta. So it was early on the race that he was using a little push to pass at the hairpin turn. And the phrase was, quote, a squirt out of the hairpin. You all have to be careful on that radio because it's dangerous for us to listen to. We are 5-year-old boys and started giggling.
Is that the word you want to use?
Really? Is that what we're going to use?
Oh, hilarious.
Yeah. And then finishing, as we enter our top 10, Felix Rosenquist.
Yeah.
Solid run.
Very solid.
He's the highest finishing rookie in the race, so.
Yeah.
I was excited about that.
Hinchcliffe did not qualify as well as we thought he was going to. He qualified in 15th, but finished in 9th. Top 10 finish.
So that was the red that happened in qualifying, kind of caught both Arrowsmith Peterson Motorsports. And, I mean, that's the rule. And it's stinky, but it's kind of a weird, hard way to fix.
And we just seem to be caught in this vortex of them right now.
Yes!
It's so bizarre.
It's, yeah. Stop having reds, guys. I suppose it's because it's all road and street courses. The qualifying.
It's springtime, too.
Well, I know, but the qualifying setup for oval races doesn't have it like one person, you know, four people are out, so one person's going to cause a red. It's like one at a time.
Yeah.
So I think maybe that's kind of why it feels like we've had this for a while, because in the last calendar, we would have at least had an oval to break this up by now.
That's true, because we don't have Phoenix anymore. So yeah, that makes sense.
Maybe that's why we all feel like we've had a lot of reds.
Yeah.
But no, Hinch, he had some moments. I feel like there's something wrong a little bit with the car. And again, at one point, because I can't tell the two apart, I thought it was Marcussen's car.
Yeah.
Oh, Hinch's car kept using the term efficient overtake, which I would like that defined, please. What does that mean?
I was so into the phrase efficient overtake.
Does that mean you use it and then you use overtake to overtake someone? So using it efficiently means use it till you overtake someone. Does inefficiently mean you just hold the button?
I mean,
the whole time?
I don't know. That just means like extra efficiently, like really save it for when you need it. Don't use it for any extra amount of time. I don't know.
Because they used it again. This is when you and I looked at each other and went, oh, good. No, we have to get around Kanaan. Use efficient overtake. They said it again. And we were like, no.
No,
don't try and get around Kanaan. It's not going to work well.
Not going to end well for you.
Ooh. I forgot this one we really enjoyed about Hinch. Remember when it was towards the end of the race. He was in lap traffic and it was Ferrucci and he was like, he is two laps down.
He said,
down.
If he's two laps down, he has to pull over.
Yeah, he said it twice.
And he said, if he is two laps down, he has to pull over.
Yeah. Insane. And he did, though. I will say for this much, Ferrucci pulled over. Our lapped traffic cars were very good this race of like, all right, yep, I'm lapped. I'll let you guys get back. So that's great. I think that speaks to the kind of the series as a whole, though. For the most part, people are like, all right, I'm lapped down. I get it. I'm going to just
let me move on out the way.
Scooch on over here and let y'all handle your business.
I will say on lap 70, Rossi's engineer came over and said, asking for a blue flag order for the 14 car.
And they got it.
They sure did.
Yeah, it was great.
We took a drink to that.
Yeah. So then Hinch was 9th. 8th was Takuma Sato.
Started 8th, finished 8th.
Yeah.
First time the word consistent has ever been used with him.
Sato.
Really?
Really consistent. 2019 is a wild year.
It's wild.
It's shaping up to be a wild, wild season.
It really is.
Which is fine. It makes for a fun.
Sure does.
Will.
Will finished 7th after starting 3rd.
Well,
He got squirrely
and he kind of went into the runoff.
Yep.
Came back. But I just feel like he really never kind of got over that. It's one of those moments where I think that potentially as a driver, you're like, damn it. Like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
And it's going to hang with you for the rest of the race.
Yeah. No, there was no recovery at that point.
And again, that's kind of like I don't know. We're going into a big month. He had a very good May last year, and it'll be interesting to see.
It will be.
6th.
6th was Simon Pagenaud.
Very nice. Good for him. Got into the Firestone Fast 6. It was the first time that he had been in the Firestone Fast 6 since Toronto last year.
That's a long time.
Oh, my goodness.
A long time. So, yeah, started 5th, finished 6th. It's a pretty good race for him, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen him, you know, do a little more. But it was a good race for him.
Yeah, he was. Hopefully, it's kind of a build now that he will progressively get better. He tends to do that. Once he starts to get up on that upswing, he pushes on through. So I'm excited to see that
momentum. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Fifth was Ryan Hunter-Reay. Good race. A lot of hard charging from Ryan Hunter-Reay until he nearly ran out of fuel.
Yeah. That was.
Yeah. Apparently, the car finished on emergency mode.
Yep.
Which was real fun when we were rewatching the TV and they're like, oh no, he's got enough fuel to go to the end of the race.
We're like, false.
He doesn't, though. He does not have enough.
Yep.
And so that's unfortunately when Dixon got around him.
Yep, sure was.
Yeah.
And then fourth was Graham Rahal.
Well.
Ish.
I'm sure that many people are now screaming that he actually finished third, much like 2002.
Yep.
So here's, it was last lap. Dixon and Rahal are hard charging. Graham locks up. They kind of go back and forth. Scott's team is on the radio hollering for race control to look at, to review it because they believe that Graham blocked Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Graham's people think he did not. Race control made the call.
Graham said he blocked him.
Yeah, but they were like, but it doesn't count because what is a block?
Yeah.
All this kind of stuff.
They went straight. Depends on what your definition of the word
is. Yeah. And the argument that we've made a lot that race control tends to not be as consistent with some things.
Yes. It's a call that many times has gone the other direction.
100% it has. But apparently both Pappas and Leyendijk were 100% in agreement on it.
Yeah, there was actually no, it was unanimous and they were like, yep, nope, that's blocking.
That's blocking. So Graham lost his fourth place finish, or his third place finish was bumped to fourth. So I'm sure that there was a lot of arguments.
That stinks.
That stings. It sucks because it was on that last lap.
Mm-hmm.
Like any other lap, he'd still have to forfeit his position, but he potentially could have gotten it back. And we've seen where drivers can, but.
But yeah, on that last lap, you're done. Mm-hmm. That's how the race ends now.
So he's going to be bitchy about that.
He actually handled it better than I expected when they were interviewing him.
Oh, it's not going to be the last we hear of it. That's the problem. Oh,
definitely not. No, but the initial interview was a lot less whiny than I expected. I'll say that.
He had already been complaining.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it's Graham, but.
Because he was complaining that Newgarden was holding him up. But as I looked at the lap times, they were equal, if not Newgarden had a faster lap time. And I was like, how is he holding you up, Graham, if he's going faster than you?
It's not a thing.
The telemetry does not lie.
That's not how that works.
Numbers don't lie, Graham. Numbers don't lie.
Hilarious. Graham started sixth.
But he did climb all the way up to fourth. I'm sure he would like third, and I'm sure we will hear all about it. But things like this, like there's no real definition of blocking. Like there's an idea. We all kind of know what it looks like, but it's that sort of I'll call it when I see it. If it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it's a duck.
There's some subjectiveness to it.
It's going to happen.
No matter what call race control makes, they're going to piss off people.
Yeah.
So I don't even care to argue about whether I think it's right or wrong because it is what it is. It's the call they made. Whether I think it's right or wrong, it can change anything.
No, it really won't. And that's it. Yeah. They made it. They got to stand by it.
Yep.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this is going to go on forever, though.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the internet will not let this die.
I know. It'll be a whole thing this week.
I mean, somebody at one point was like, we should just do away with all rules and just let the drivers, what was it? I read it to you.
Oh, no rules against blocking or anything. Just let the drivers just race.
No, it wasn't even that. It was just no rules. Let the drivers handle it themselves.
Handle themselves. Yeah.
Nope. That's a horrible idea.
No.
I'm going to go ahead and just say no. You have to have rules.
Yeah.
B, you have to have a neutral body kind of overseeing the rules because you can't have the drivers handle it themselves.
No.
They can't be trusted. Guys, they can't be. They're very nice people, but they cannot be trusted.
No, not at all.
And also, half of the rules we have are for safety reasons, so we have to keep them.
Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
Sorry.
I mean, this is an open wheel sport. We have to do this.
We do.
Yeah. It's kind of dangerous.
We do.
So then third was Scotty D.
Scotty D. Scott Dixon. Started second, finished third.
Yeah. Tried to, you know, had a good couple of runs, and then he had an 18-second pit stop, and...
Good Lord.
He still finished third with an 18-second pit stop, of course.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that only Dixon can do that kind of shit.
Everybody else have been like, I'm done. Turn it off. Yeah. I don't want to be here anymore.
Pack it up. Yeah. Nope, not Dixon.
Not Dixon. It was the fuel cell thing, but God.
Amazing.
Up to third because...
Dixon things.
Just Dixon things. Second, Joseph Newgarden. He started fourth, ended second. Good solid run. Very good solid run.
Yeah, very good run for him. I mean, very good day for him.
He should not be unhappy with that finish at all. He's still first in the points. So,
had Dixon not had that awful pit stop, I wonder if he ever would have caught up to Rossi.
God, I don't think so.
I mean, Rossi... I don't feel like Rossi would have had as much of a lead as he ended up with.
I would agree with that. The difference would not be a 20-second difference between first and second. And it was
crazy.
Let's see. What lap did I start to make little notes about it? I stopped taking notes. Never mind. Because at some point it was 14 seconds and it never really got below 9 seconds after a while.
No.
So, yeah. Well, and if you recall, Dixon tried to pass Rossi on the start and the restart.
Yeah.
And the door got shut on him both times.
Yeah,
and he
Rossi
backed off.
Was not having it.
Well, and Dixon smartly backed off because I think at the end of the day, Dixon was like, this is not worth crushing a car over.
Well, yeah. Exactly, because some points are better than no points.
Well, it's like what we talked about towards the end. We were like, do you think there's going to be yellow? And we kind of looked at, like, there's about two groups who could have fought, and it was the Dixon, Graham, Ryan Hunter-Reay, and we were like, nope, because all three of those know, get the car home in one piece in a top five position, you're bringing home a good amount of points.
Mm-hmm.
Now, rookies in there, going to be a problem. But there wasn't, so. But
there weren't, exactly. I mean, we were like, nope, it's too many guys with experience that understand the value of bringing the car home in one piece.
The veteran
like,
drivers.
Have a good race, but let's not do anything stupid here.
Let's not be idiots.
Yeah.
So.
Have some respect for yourselves.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. And then, of course, Rossi won and didn't just win.
Spanked everybody.
Just good. God, Gertie.
Yeah.
I still can't believe a 20-second difference.
It was wild. But there were so many other battles that were happening throughout the field.
There really were, and...
I will say, because we had friends that were complaining that the broadcast was boring. We were like, there's so much going on because we had the headphones on and we were here live.
And we had the shit up on our phones, so we were kind of... You can go through the field and see where shit is.
And see what's happening. And
yeah.
So we watched the broadcast and we got back to our Airbnb and, they did a shit job of it.
Yeah. Because half of the things are...
Half of it is looking off the back end of Rossi's car at no one.
No one. Like, no, thank you.
That's boring.
That's boring. But there was other stuff happening.
But there was lots of stuff happening. They just, they did not feature the other things very well. So
no.
If you watch it at home, I apologize. It was a better race than it appeared to be.
I mean, I don't apologize. I'm not part of the NBC broadcast team.
That's true. I'm not either.
They have not asked for my opinion. I'm happy to give it if they would like.
And I'm giving mine right now.
I mean, I'm pretty sure they already know it. Focus on other, like, it's nice when they do a run through the field and they kind of talk about the drivers and kind of like what this driver is kind of looking into as they're going into the race, things like that. If they kind of did that in the beginning, and then throughout the race, kind of pick like, 3 to 5 every now and then to kind of touch back on.
Yeah.
That would be helpful. So you're not just like, okay, it's just three people racing or no.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like there were 23 drivers.
You couldn't find something else?
Yeah.
Like, I'm saying that and I'm a huge Rossi fan. Like, but the man had a 15-second lead. I was like.
That's not exciting.
I mean, unless he does something, he fine.
That's boring. Yeah.
I know. But got the pole.
And one from the pole.
And one from the pole led 80 out of 85 laps.
Damn.
Yeah. And again, those laps were basically because of a pit stop cycle.
Yep. Goodness. That was a hell of a weekend for him.
It was a great.
And he almost hit you with his scooter.
Twice.
And he lost his keys.
Once.
And we I just happened to be there.
It's my favorite part of the weekend is he is furiously trying to find the scooters. And it's
and you and I
just sitting on a bench like, I mean, we're not going to help him.
I mean, the thing is, he didn't want our help.
No, first of all, he didn't want that help. No. No.
So I did what any normal person would do. I got out my phone and I filmed it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we just sat there and watched it unfold before us.
I was going to film more, but there was somebody else who was like kind of in his face filming, and he was getting a little shitty.
He's getting a little sassy.
He was like, oh, yeah, this is real funny. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put the phone down. It's not funny anymore. He's getting pretty pissed. I'm like, I bet it was RHR.
I mean, but it was funny to us.
It was.
It was hilarious.
It was so funny. You were like, jumpstart it.
After a while, I just started going.
You're like, hotwire it.
Hotwire it. It's just hotwire it. I think at one point they're about ready to.
Yeah, they really were about ready to.
Sorry, goodness gracious.
Hilarious, but yeah. Definitely a good weekend for Rossi, though.
That was. I forgot to mention one of the things that I found, I don't know, funny is the word or not, over the phone, was that every time RHR would use his push to pass when he was like right behind Ray Hall, Graham's people would be like, he's on it. He's off. He's on again. Off again. On again. Off again. On. Yes. Off. On again. Off again. And I was like, I'm going to stop it. Both of you stop. Just stop.
Yeah.
It's just like two siblings. And you're like, nope.
Too much.
Stop it.
Too much. Yeah. No, I'm with you there.
That was not great.
Yeah.
The tires were kind of interesting this race because some people had better stints on blacks than they did on reds, and some people really favored the reds as opposed to the blacks.
Very interesting.
It's always fun, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
today was a cooler day than the last 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a difference as well.
Well, of course. So that was also something.
Yeah. It was very interesting to see everybody did.
Just clicking through my notes, heard a DNF. That was unfortunate. Oh, it was the 200th race win for Andretti Autosport since Michael Andretti started. So that's kind of cool.
That's very cool, actually. So that's quite the achievement for them.
It was.
Yeah.
We would like to apologize after watching the television broadcast. They mentioned May and or the Indianapolis 500 15 times at least.
So for everybody who's playing our drinking game, we hope you're not in the hospital.
Yeah, we hope you didn't have alcohol poisoning.
We hope you survived. We're sorry.
Like, it was 6 times before the race even started, and I was like, oh, God, yeah. This could have sent somebody to the hospital.
Yeah, so we're real sorry about that.
Yeah. Wasn't our intent.
No. Nope.
Didn't know that was going to happen.
I mean, and always feel free to bow out of a drinking game.
Yeah, there's no shame. We will not shame you for that. I mean, no. For the most part, we won't know.
For the most part, yeah.
No. I mean, they'll be a little like, meh, but then we'll be like, it's cool, no worries.
Like, we get it.
It's cool. Handle your business.
So we apologize to anybody who was playing that particular game.
Yeah, didn't know.
It's a lot.
So it was our first time here.
The area is beautiful.
Yes. A lot of fun. We got to do, I mean, it's on a beach, so we're already excited about beach stuff.
Yep. We walked on the beach.
We walked a lot.
Queen Mary. We did walk a lot. This course is very big, and so there's a lot of walking if you want to go around and see different things.
It's deceptively big.
And I mean a lot. It's like if you've been over to the Vegas Strip, and it seems like it's not that far, but then you start walking from casino to casino, and you realize it's way farther than you really thought it was.
Mm-hmm.
That's how this course is.
Like you start, and you're like, this was a bad decision.
Yeah, and there's so many stairs.
Oh, God, so many stairs.
Oh. I'm going to be sore this entire week.
Thank God we don't have anything this upcoming week.
Oh, my God. I wouldn't be able to do it.
Area is very pretty. Course is bigger than you think it should be. And if you would like to see the race, do not buy a GA ticket.
Yeah, GA doesn't do shit for you. We did learn that. So not really a great course for a GA admission.
No.
Yeah, you definitely want a reserve seat, and you want to make sure that you're somewhere with a video board, because there's not a lot of areas with views that show a lot of the track.
Sure. Like some road courses, you have it where you can sit places and see, you know, a quarter. But definitely near a video board. Honestly, I think that's going to be your kind of a pro tip for any road or street course. You're going to want to need to be in. You're going to want to be near
a video board. Yeah.
It's just helpful.
I will say the super annoying thing to me about the GA here, as opposed to general admission at other courses, is that the GA at this course was pretty much standing room only. There was one area that actually had a video board that was GA, and it was right outside the convention center. They had all these benches and chairs and things, but there was a radio station there playing music that was so damn loud.
Oh my God.
That you literally needed earplugs just for that alone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a live band today. All day long, they had live music, which is fine, except why do you have a video board there for a race when you can't hear it?
No.
And this is one of the few places that's GA that you can actually sit, because everywhere else was just standing room only.
Yeah, and kind of unlike our special GA spot at the Grand at St. Petersburg, there's not even kind of like the track in front of you. You just are like sitting in the middle of the track.
Yeah, but yeah. You have no concept that there's really a track around you. You're just smack dab in the middle.
Yes.
So, yeah, we did find a decent little spot, found a picnic table by some food trucks. And
it's out
so
there.
We were right next to the course, but we couldn't actually see anything from where we were sitting.
No, just because the course was sunken down just as coach.
Yeah.
And the catch fence.
And the catch fence.
You know, so that important catch fence.
Yeah. But yeah, so it was okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't, it's not my favorite. It's not my favorite.
It's, the area is pretty, it looks very pretty on the TV.
If I had a lot more money, I think that I would have had a lot better time, because they've got all these fun VIP clubs and things that you can do,
mm-hmm,
that have like access places and yeah. Oh, and the alcohol, $15 for a beer.
Oh my God.
Sorry, I interrupted you. But,
no, that's okay.
But $15 a beer. My dollars is too high to invest with that. I don't have the money to get drunk on $15.
It was, I couldn't believe that. I could not believe.
I mean, damn.
Oof. Oof.
Yeah.
It was also Pepsi products. Which, by the way, so the news is broken that the IMS will be serving Pepsi and not Coke products.
Blasphemy, and fuck you, Coke, for losing that deal. Like, you have a plant right next to the IMS.
I know.
Ashamed of yourself. And let me just say, what did I say? I said the only positive thing is that I do like Mountain Dew. And you know what no one had this weekend? Mountain Dew!
I can't help you with that.
They had Pepsi, Diet Pepsi, Sierra Mist, which Sierra Mist is the only one I like, but doesn't help me if I need caffeine. I think I saw one place with Dr. Pepper on the very first day that we were here, and nobody else. And I just hate Pepsi and Diet Pepsi. And if that's how it is at IMS, like,
this is just fun for me because I don't even drink soda, and everybody else is losing their minds. And I'm like, man, do they got waters?
But you know, I mean, I don't even drink that much soda, but I do enjoy soda at a track. And so it just,
I still think you can bring in your Cokes though.
Well, I know, but I don't bring in a cooler with a bunch of ice. You know, that's not how I roll. So I buy it there.
I know. Just beg, borrow, and steal somebody else's cooler space. Yeah,
I'm going to have to.
I think they'll be okay with that.
I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oh, we did
Pepsi get... Pepsi products.
I don't want to expound upon this right now, but we did have like a cool mind-blowing moment when we sat in on the like Harding Steinbrenner talk with Andy Carnation. And so Brian Barnhart, obviously, well, not obviously, but was involved in this panel. Is it a panel if it's two people?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. And they were talking about his time back in Race Director and the open and closed pits. And he was like, so really the whole deal about the closed pits during a yellow is safety, because if the pits are open, it will impede the safety team's response time. And he said, you know, we tell the drivers this every year. We can keep the pits open and that can delay AMR getting you to you from like, you know, up to a minute 40, I think.
A minute 45.
Yeah. Or we can close the pits immediately and they can go. What do you want? And he was like, every time the drivers are like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And
because it's like, he literally said, because if you're the guy that's stuck in your car or you're the one whose car is on fire, do you want to wait a minute and 45 seconds for AMR to be able to leave to come and get to you?
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Nope. And that kind of was like a, yeah. And why is this not brought out more when the close pit issue happens? And yeah.
Why is there not a single driver that says, guys, seriously, we talk about it every year. This is why.
Yeah. Remember, hey guys.
Quit getting riled up over stupid shit.
It's safety reasons, which we've always known there was some safety, multiple safety issues behind it. But like, this is a very important one too.
That makes
like
a lot of sense.
Yeah. The AMR team has to get to you. Like,
and a lot of times they exit out.
Somebody there at pit in. Yeah. So that was very interesting to hear.
It was.
Yeah.
That was very interesting. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Also, I do want to add that the pit row at this track sucks.
It does. It's a skinny ass sidewalk.
At best, it's a skinny ass sidewalk.
Yeah, it was very narrow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people because it's a big race here in California.
I'm really excited that we get to be at our home track for the next month.
We always get spoiled though in May, and then we're like, this is the best. Nice. And then we go somewhere else, and we're like, this is not the best.
I know, but it's okay.
Texas Motor Speedway has better be amazing or else we're going to be like, damn it.
Yeah. But yeah, no, Texas is going to be good time. It better be awesome. But yeah, no, I did not love pit lane. We had a good time here. It just was not my favorite.
Yeah. But as we were kind of driving, we were not driving. Our Lyft driver was driving. The first time you go to a track, it's always a bit wonky because you honestly don't know what to expect.
Well, and you're still figuring out the layout and where things are, although they did not have good signage at all. There were hardly any maps. That was annoying as fuck. Just to be perfectly honest.
You know, I love a good map.
Well, and also, I mean, day one, and we did some sightseeing and things, but we walked 11 miles and went up 24 flights of stairs. 24.
This is a stat that will haunt me until the day I die.
24.
Yep, I know. You yelled this first thing in the morning, Saturday.
Yeah.
And I quote, 24 flights of stairs? Abby's awake.
Oh, that wasn't all that I yelled.
I did edit it a little bit.
Yeah.
You know,
for
the children.
Yeah. So with all those stairs and things and all the walking, I would appreciate a little bit better signage, a little maps that made sense.
I don't know if I can never talk about a map that makes sense.
I mean, they made sense.
I swear.
For the most part, but
I'm directionally challenged at times.
They didn't always have all the information, and the maps that were on paper and not on your phone did not have all the information. So if you didn't screenshot it and you had AT&T, well, then guess what? You were out of luck because you weren't going to get anything to load.
Oh, boy. It's my favorite game to play at the racetrack. Oh, nobody else's phone is working but mine. Cool.
I know. Every race weekend, I'm like, that's it. I'm switching to Verizon.
It would be helpful. I can't run all of the social medias from one phone.
I know. But the thing is, it's still cheaper for me to be on the family plan. And you know what? I've got control of the race tickets. I don't have control of the cell phone plan.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to choose my battles there.
Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of work for me.
I know. Well, we need to look into how much it is for you to just create a hotspot for me.
I don't know.
Yeah, we need to find that out.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a very interesting track. It's a very interesting race weekend. I think the Honda's definitely rolled off quick.
They did.
Some Chevys found speed, obviously, with Newgarden placing it pretty high. Second. Oh, I guess that is pretty darn high.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were talking about on the TV broadcast that Rossi's car seemed to be handling very well. And that makes sense because every time they were really working on like the shocks and all of that. And I was like, this is either going to go real well or real bad. We shall see.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. It went really well.
It did.
So we'll see. So it's Joseph is first in the standings. Rossi is second. And Scott Dixon is third. And we are one race away from double points.
We are.
And we are one race away from our first oval for all of our little young rookies.
It's going to be an interesting May.
Yeah. Final thoughts on Long Beach. What you got?
I thought Rossi was going to win, but I did not expect him to just run away with it. It was very much an Alio-like run. It reminded me of some of Alio's 500 wins where he just got that lead and just stretched it.
Mm-hmm.
Stretched and stretched and stretched. And to the point where it's almost not even fair. You know? Like, at some point you just start to feel bad for other people. So, I didn't realize it was going to be a massacre.
Oh, bad enough to start introducing stage racing?
Not that bad.
Yeah, saw that on Twitter and I was like, no. Yeah. It doesn't happen enough, so anyway.
Anyway. Yeah, it doesn't happen that often, but yeah. I thought he was going to win, but I had no idea it was going to be that much of a blowout. But I was very excited by all of the different battles and things throughout the field. And you know what? Long Beach is very narrow. And I think you see that to an extent on TV, but you definitely don't get the same effect as you do in person. When you see it in person, you realize how very narrow it is. So
yes.
So then when you see them on TV and they're, you know, two and three wide in different places, it's like, oh my gosh, there's not much room there.
You're like, no.
So close.
Yeah. I'm wondering if it's second in its narrowness only to Toronto.
Yeah, that would not surprise me.
Because I know Toronto is extremely narrow in a few places, almost like claustrophobic narrow.
Yes. So it was, yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought there was a lot of good racing today. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's unfortunate that the broadcast seems not to focus on a few of the good races besides those in the top five.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate for our sports. So
it is unfortunate.
It was a great race. Of course, I'm very excited. I was feeling it for Rossi before we even got to Long Beach. He got the pole and I was like, psh, done. Dunzo. Dunzo, yep. Mick Dunsington. Called it. Setback. Watch it happen. He made Scott not pass him twice. And I was like, all right, it's over. I'm going to just kick back. Yep. Watch some other racing. And it was a big week of racing. I mean, we had IndyCar, we had IMSA, which, you know, the Acura boys placed second and third.
They did.
Super Stadium Trucks.
Super Stadium Trucks. That was the craziest shit that I've ever seen. That is some
wild stuff.
Like, I was like,
I don't feel that they should be able to do that as a truck.
It was like a monster truck rally, but on a race course.
Exactly.
The jumps, and I was so into it.
Yeah. We did not watch the Super Formula Drift Challenge. We were not that excited about it. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, I do enjoy watching, like, the drifting and things like that, but, well, we had limited time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
It's late back home.
Yeah, I know, and we've got an early flight tomorrow.
We do.
Because we always do this.
Yep.
Yep.
But, yeah. No, we had to make the most of it. We were not here for very long, so we did not watch the Super Drift.
Some things had to get cut in the schedule.
But the Stadium Trucks, yeah, that was wild.
Unreal. So
thoroughly enjoyed that.
All right. Well, we got a flight tomorrow. We're going home, and we are home through May, and it is almost May.
It's almost May.
Hard to believe.
Oh, it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's your white flag?
It's just a nice weekend. I'm excited for the win. Very excited for Rossi's win. I'm kind of more excited to be at home for the next couple of races.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? This is the 4th race. We have had 4 different winners. That speaks volumes for how good our series is.
I really enjoy that.
Yeah. How about you?
I mean, I think I just gave my final thoughts.
Okay, that works.
I'm like, I don't know that I have anything else to add. Perfect. I agree with that, though. Yeah. I love that we've had four different winners.
Cool.
So, yeah.
All right.
It's exciting going into May. I mean, it's really anybody's ball game. And
boy.
Actually, I don't know that I have any favorites picked for the 500 at this point. It really could be any number of people that get pole. Could be any number of people in the fast nine.
Yeah. I mean, as we always say, the track chooses.
The track chooses. I mean, it could be a rookie. It could be.
It'd be great. A one-off could win.
It could be one-off. It could be an experienced driver. I mean, it's, yeah. I think it's going to be
It's going to be good. Yep. All righty.
All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Bye.